I am going to speak to you this morning on the subject, trusting God for the impossible. Now, when I think of God, I think of someone who is much bigger than I am, someone who is much more powerful than I am, someone who has both the authority and the power, according to our lesson study this morning, the introduction by Christine. Someone who really has called this world into existence. He did not make a prototype. He did not plan it years in advance. According to the Bible, we do not know, but he called the world into existence. He spoke and it was done. That is power. And to know that we have a God who is so powerful, who is working on our behalf, we ought to be very pleased, be very content to know that we belong to such a God. For there is nothing in this world that can happen to us that he can't take control of. And if we have that kind of a confidence in the God of the universe, the God who created us, I believe we will live a more peaceful and stressless life. Sometimes we take on things we ought not to take on because we think of doing it ourselves. We think that we are the ones who are responsible for our existence. But to your surprise, and to my surprise maybe, God is responsible for our existence. And he knows the beginning from the end. So whatever happens to us is not strange to God. He knows about it. And having that confidence in God, we ought to rest in peace in God. So my text today comes from Daniel chapter 2 and verses 17 and the 23, 16, all the way down. I just want to refresh our minds here on this text. It says here in Daniel 2 verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would shew the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they will desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning his secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now you know the story of King Nebuchadnezzar. We are told he had a dream. That's the context of the story. He had a powerful dream, but somehow he could not remember the dream. Have you ever had a dream that you couldn't remember? You knew it was significant, but somehow you can't recall it. Well, in this case, King Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. He knew it was significant, and he needed to remember the dream, but somehow the dream escaped him, and he was confused. In fact, he was afraid, because his dream had to do with power, power dealing with himself, the king. And so he was stressed out, and he was determined to find out what is the dream he dreamt that he can't remember. And obviously, he will call his magicians, soothsayers, those individuals whom he depended upon to give him support in matters like these. Now, if you're a magician, you have a certain amount of power if you were living in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar. If you were a soothsayer, you had some power if you were living in the days of King Nebuchadnezzar, because they were his trusted servant. They guided him in major decision-making. And so he called them and he said to them, well, look, I had a dream, a very disturbing dream, but I can't remember what the dream was about. So I want you, my trusted servants, to tell me what my dream was. Isn't that an impossible request to ask? I mean, no reasonable person will make such a request of his servants. But to King Nebuchadnezzar, he thought this was quite normal. I had a dream. You are powerful in my kingdom. You guide me. You give me counsel. You interpret things for me. Tell me what is my dream and the interpretation of it. Well, of course, the magicians and the soothsayers and all those individuals were stumped. And they said to the king, well, king, you are asking for us an impossible thing. If you can tell us your dream, then we can give you the interpretation. But we can't tell you what you dreamt. King says, well, this is the deal. If you don't tell me what I dreamt, before the sun goes down, you will die. But on the other hand, if you can tell me what my dream was all about, you will live luxurious lives like you can never think about. I will lavish upon you all the blessings that you can think about because this dream is so important to me. Well, as enticing as that might appear to be, the blessings that the king promised, the magicians couldn't do anything about the dream. So the king gave his order. All the magicians and soothsayers and all these very special people who gave him counsel, they will face death, including Daniel, who was also classified as a wise man, and Daniel's associates. But when the news came to Daniel, he was really surprised because he knew nothing about the king's plan to destroy the wise men, nor about his dream. Because Daniel was not among those that were called to the king to give counsel at that time. So when the captain of the guard told Daniel what was going down, Daniel said, well, I need some time. I need to have an audience with the king so I can plead for some time to consider this matter. Well, the captain of the guard said, we have no time. Daniel said, but I need to speak to the king. And somehow, Daniel, through persuasion, was able to get an audience with King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel did a very significant thing. He made a comment to the king. He said, king, if you give me a little time, I will tell you the interpretation of the dream. Now, where does this confidence come from? Remember this, Daniel doesn't know the dream. But he has given the king the assurance that he not only will tell him the dream, but the interpretation of the dream. So where does Daniel get this authority from? How can he be so brave? How can he be so bold? How can he be so confident? I mean, the king is powerful. If Daniel fails to deliver with his promise, he will surely die, he and his friends. But yet he's making a claim that I can and I will, that I might be able, I will tell you the interpretation of your dream. Give me a little time. The only way Daniel could have done that is by having unwavering faith in the ability of God to deliver. And I wonder if we, as children of God, have that unwavering faith in God, in his ability to deliver us from trouble, from temptation, from heartaches, from pain. Do we have that confidence like Daniel to say, I know my God will deliver. I find in our day of modern science and technology, we tend to depend more on technology and knowledge than upon God. And that's why we don't see many miracles taking place. Because we have confidence in our doctors or medical professionals, they will take care of it. But in days of yore, when science wasn't that popular, when technology was in need of making its presence known, more reliance was placed upon God. And more power was evident in God's healing of humanity. And in this case, Daniel had no technology to depend upon, no science to depend upon. He had God. And in this very difficult situation, where life and death were at stake, Daniel made the claim that I will deliver the dream and the interpretation to you. Well, the king was persuaded. And he told Daniel, okay, I'll give you a couple of days. But make sure when you return to me, you've got the goods. Otherwise, this will be the end of your journey. So Daniel leaves the king's palace. And what does he do? What does he do? He goes to find his companions. He goes to find his companions. And he said to them, their names were Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That was the name the king gave them. Their original names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, now these three men, they were not ordinary men. In our day and time, we call them prayer warriors. They had been with Daniel through thick and thin. They had seen the power of God working in their lives. And Daniel went to them and said, look, we have a situation here that needs deep prayer. And I can find no other to depend upon but upon you three. Because we have been together for a period of time. We have seen the mighty working of God. And I want you to spend some time in prayer so that when we are through with our prayers, we know that God will answer us. Now, I can imagine the three friends of Daniel saying to Daniel, don't worry. We know that our God will deliver. I'm wondering if we have any prayer warriors in the church today who are not prayer warriors by name, but by power, who have a strong connection with God through prayer and the studying of the Word of God, but have the confidence to say, when we pray, we know that God is going to deliver. And whatever God does for us through prayer, we will accept. Daniel's friends were together with him in this. Where two or three are gathered together in the name of Jesus and pray earnestly to God for deliverance, God delivers. But I find in my experience, I don't have that vibrant prayer life that I would like to have. I know what my needs are. I'm traveling almost every week. I'm going through different time zones almost every week, especially in the months of April, May, and June. And sometimes I don't find time in the day to pray. I get up early in the morning, get into my vehicle, go to my meetings, spend the entire day in meetings, Come home after 5:30, not home, but maybe in a hotel. Tired. You go to your bed sometimes. And for the whole day will pass sometimes, and I will forget to pray because I'm so busy doing the Lord's work. How many of us find ourselves in that situation sometimes? Doing the Lord's work, but forgetting to pray to God to give us the power to do his work. Busy doing God's work, but not communicating with God. But Daniel and his companions, I have been told, spent at least morning, noon, and night praying to God every day. Despite what they had to do, and they were busy because they were in bondage and King Nebuchadnezzar had them working, but they found time morning, noon, and night to pray. I remember Jesus Christ when he was here on earth, so busy healing those who were distressed, those who were sick, the blind, the lame, the dumb, casting out demons, feeding thousands of people. Every day he's bombarded, he's busy. But we're told how often he said, let us go and rest a while. He will remove himself from the much busyness of his day. And he would go to a mountain and spend some time at night in prayer. Because he knew that his source of strength comes from God. And unless God empowers him, he will not be able to fulfill his work. And so it is with us today. It doesn't matter what we do for the church or for God. If we fail to maintain that connection with God, we will not get the results that we would like to have when we pray to God. But these three Hebrew boys and Daniel, they were so connected with God that they felt confident that God would deliver to them the request that they made of God. And so it was. The impossible thing to be solved was made possible through prayer. I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, that there is nothing in life that we go through that God is not aware of. And there is nothing in this life that we face that God can take care of. And the only reason why we are so stressed out, and this is my confession, is that we don't have that confidence in God that we ought to have. And that confidence in God can only come through a vibrant prayer life. Because the closer you are to God, is the more empowered you become. Do you realize that? The closer you are to God, is the more empowered you become. The less fearful you become, the bolder you become. You will witness for him more boldly because you are confident in his connection with you. Sometimes, you know, I feel intimidated to talk to someone about the will of God. I remember traveling in the plane just a few days ago, coming from BC, British Columbia. And I saw this huge man at the gate. I said, wow, he will take up at least 2 seats in the airplane. And I saw him then, I said, how will he manage? How will he manage on this 4.5-hour flight from BC to Toronto? I mean, I'm kind of a skinny myself, you know, and I have a hard time sitting down and trying to relax for 4.5 hours. And I got to my seat and I sat down and I saw the man coming and I said, I hope he's accompanied by me. And sometimes what you don't hope for happens. Surely he came and he sat right beside me here. He said, this is my seat. He is on the aisle. I'm in the middle. And oh my goodness, it was so uncomfortable. And I felt somewhat intimidated because the power of this man's physique, that you don't know how to start a conversation. And somehow I was happy because as he sat down, he put some air plugs into this ear so that he meant he don't want to be disturbed. But I was wondering, how could I, in that situation, use God to influence this man's life? And I believe if I had a very strong connection with God at that time, I would have found a way of doing it. And I did for a very short period of time. But the point I'm trying to make is this. We ought not to make someone's stature, someone's wisdom, someone's knowledge, someone's financial ability, someone's status intimidate us from witnessing for Jesus Christ. And so these three Hebrew boys and Daniel, they were so confident that nothing will prevent them from doing the work of the Lord. Now, God has strange ways of answering our prayers. In fact, he has numerous ways. And in this very unusual situation, God found a very unusual way of answering the prayers of Daniel and his friends. The Bible says that the interpretation of the dream and the revelation of the dream came to Daniel in a vision. Now, God didn't speak to him while he was kneeling in prayer. God did not send an angel, in this case, to tell Daniel what was the dream and interpretation. The Bible says that the interpretation of the dream and the dream came to Daniel in a vision. And when Daniel saw the vision, he knew that this was the solution that God had given to him. And he shared that with his companions. And they knew that this was the solution to the secret of the king's dream. And Daniel, what did he do? When he saw the vision, he began to praise God, to thank God for using him as the vehicle to save the lives of hundreds and hundreds of individuals who would have been killed by the king. The solution came to Daniel in a vision. Have you ever prayed to God and got your answer in a vision? I remember when I was a younger person and very new to the church. You know, when you're new to the church, you have that enthusiasm, you know, as though you have that special connection with God. I remember I was a young man and I was in high school and our teacher gave us a problem to solve in geometry. I liked geometry at that time. And I remember spending the entire afternoon after school working on that problem, my friend and myself. We couldn't figure it out. There was no way. We drew all kinds of construction lines to put things together, and we couldn't figure it out. I remember going home, praying to God. I remember working night. And in those days, I didn't have any electricity. I used a lamp. I remember it was about midnight, and I was still working on that problem. And my mother said, it's time to turn off the light. And I remember going to bed, and that was on my mind. I said, Lord, I want to have the solution to this problem so that I can present it to my class the following day. And lo and behold, about 4 a.m. in the morning, I had a dream. I had a dream where someone I did not know was writing on a chalkboard and drew some triangles and some construction lines. I was very much aware that this person was alive and well. I saw the entire solution. It stuck in my head. I got up in the morning and I went to my desk, a very small desk, and wrote out what I dreamt. And that was a solution to the problem. Unbelievable. When I went to class the following day, and I was the only one who had the solution, the teacher said to me, okay, come forward and demonstrate to us the solution to this problem. And I did. And they were all impressed. And they asked me, how did I arrive at that solution? I said, I worked hard, very hard, very hard. I was afraid to tell them that I had a vision. And you know why? You know why I was afraid? Because they will think of me as being very queer. And you want it to be accepted by your friends. Acceptance is one of the greatest things that one can enjoy in life. And because I didn't want to appear to be strange, I said I worked and worked and worked very hard. I did not give God the glory. And I should have. I mean, I gave him the glory in my heart, but I didn't verbalize it. But Daniel, as soon as he saw the vision, he began to praise God and glorify his name. And then he got his friends, told them what has happened. They were excited. Daniel went back to the king and said, King, I have your solution. I have a solution. And Daniel made a great statement. He said, you have confided in your soothsayers and your magicians to tell you the dream, but they couldn't. Because he said, no man on earth could have done what you asked them to do. Only the God of heaven could do it. That was Daniel's witness. And that's a witness I want you and I want myself to have. Having that confidence in God that even what may appear to be impossible becomes quite possible with God. Christ, on his way down from the Mount of Configuration, of Transfiguration, sorry, when he came down the hill, he met a crowd arguing about something. They were confused. And he said to them, what is the matter? Why are you so concerned? What's going on? And a man from the crowd said to Jesus, Lord, I brought to you my son. He has a dumb and a deaf spirit that causes him to go into a convulsion. He's foaming at his mouth as if he is about to be killed. I brought my son to your disciples for healing, but they couldn't heal him. So here, Lord, I am pleading with you. And Jesus said to him, how long has this been happening? And he said to Christ, since he was a youth, a child. And the man said, Lord, if you can, please heal my son. And these were the words of Jesus. Everything is possible to him who believes. Isn't that wonderful? Everything is possible to him who believes. For years and years and years, this boy was caught up by the spirit tortured, tormented, no peace, no one could help, an impossible situation. And Christ said to the Father, everything is possible. Everything. Even the impossible things are possible to him who believes. And the man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. That was total surrender. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Total surrender to God. Say, Lord, I believe you can do it. Do it, Lord. And Jesus healed his son. Trusting God to heal, to do the impossible. Do you have some challenges in your life that you feel are impossible at this time? It could be perhaps a financial situation you might find yourself in. You may be very heavy in debt and don't know exactly what to do. You've tried different things, but your financial resources can't really deliver you from the debt that you have. Is there a family situation? I know of families where brothers and sisters are not talking to one another. I have experienced that myself. Is that an impossible thing for God to do? To bring families together? Do you know how wonderful it is when families live together in peace? If you have sisters and brothers you haven't seen for a long time, and you're having a reunion, and they all come together and share their stories and have a wonderful time reflecting on the past, isn't that a wonderful thing? But how awful it is if of your five brothers and sisters, only two show up. The other three don't because they don't talk with you. How do you feel? Can God fix that? Is there someone that needs to be forgiven but you just can't forgive because the hurt was so severe to you, you still feel it in your bones? Some people say, I will never forgive that person because what he did to me is so dreadful. I can't imagine forgiving him. And what you're doing is perpetuating your own pain. Is it too impossible for God to forgive? Do you have a situation in church where you find it very difficult to really deal with? I want to let you know, brothers and sisters, that there is nothing in this world that God cannot solve for you. But when the disciples could not drive the evil spirit out of the boy, and later they asked him, Lord, why couldn't we do it? He said, this kind can only come out but by prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to trust God for the impossible. Don't believe that there is anything in life that you are facing right now that God can't handle. Try to put more trust in him. Trust him even though you can't trace him. Don't try to understand God. Just trust him. If you have that belief in God, your life will be so much more at peace. You will distress yourself because what you are worrying about, God will provide ways and means of dealing with that. And this is my message for you today. Trusting God to do the impossible for you. Because you, by yourself, can't do the impossible. May God bless you. May the peace of God abide with you. And may you be vibrant witnesses for God in the community in which you live. Give him the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.